Welcome to our convention Eucharist. We are here at St. Philip's Church in Durham, and we're grateful to Father Stephen Mazingo and staff members and parishioners who are helping us bring this to you for our convention this year. Our service begins with the opening acclamation. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Micah. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock that belongs to you, which lives alone in a forest in the midst of a garden land. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. Show us marvelous things. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of your possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in showing clemency. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and unswerving loyalty to Abraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors from the days of old. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us read the psalm responsively by whole verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
He forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities.
He redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness.
He satisfies you with good things, and your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed.
He made his ways known to Moses and his works to the children of Israel.
The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness.
He will not always accuse us, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he began angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has now been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, free us. Spirit of the living God, in this season of Lent, renew us with your healing love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a song from Godspell, the musical, which is based on Psalm 103. If you know the song, it's hard to say these words and not hear the music running through it, like a soundtrack. The words don't match up exactly, owing to different translations, but it is the same psalm. It begins with a striking series of chords that I, in an ill-fated attempt to teach myself piano, used to bang out on the old spinet in our family room. "Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, his praise to thee proclaim, and all that is within me join to bless his holy name." But it is at the bridge of the song where the tempo really picks up. He will not always chide. He will with patience wait. His wrath is ever slow to rise and ready to abate. Chide is one of those words you don't hear too often. It means to scold or rebuke. And because it is the season of Lent, we should probably point out that the psalmist doesn't say the Lord won't ever chide. It says he won't always chide. But the psalm on the whole keeps moving us in a direction. The song points us towards God's mercy, God's forgiveness, to grace, and ultimately to God's love. He clothes thee with his love, upholds thee with his truth, and like an eagle, he renews the vigor of thy youth. This is the journey we are all on right now. Lent is a season not just of repentance, but of renewal. It's a journey that in some senses began about a year ago. And as much as we have tried to observe the other seasons that have come and gone as the earth made its way around the sun, and as the seasons of the church year have come and gone, marking the periods in Jesus' life and the life of the church, in truth, the last year has felt like one very long Lent. Many have described this year as a time of twin pandemics, the coronavirus and racial injustice founded on principles of white supremacy that have plagued our country from the very beginning. Documentary filmmaker Ken Burns has added a third to these twin pandemics that he calls a pandemic of misinformation. The ongoing impact has left us weary, disheartened at times, and weighed down by an abundance of grief and loss, loss of life, loss of the opportunity to gather as a full community, loss of intimate connection in the visit that we can have with someone in their home. These losses have been compounded by the loss of our moral compass when it comes to justice, fairness, and equality. We are a nation that has lost its way. And then on top of all this, information that is patently false is presented as true. Narratives of conspiracy theories and deep state cloud people's judgment and confuse their ability to think clearly and critically. We need to come to our senses. And this, of course, is a reference to our gospel reading today, the beloved parable of the prodigal son. It has always struck me as significant that the younger son comes to his senses when he recognizes all that he has lost during his dissolute living. And then he sets out on a journey to return home. What might homecoming look like for us as we make our way back to our sanctuaries during this Lenten season? Does the story of the prodigal son in any way mirror our journey? In some ways, it's a sharp contrast. We have not been squandering our inheritance in dissolute living. We've actually been longing to return this whole time. In fact, we have even wrestled with the painful question, have we been too slow to return to gather in person? Other churches, other denominations have been worshiping in their sanctuaries in person throughout this pandemic. Perhaps this is especially true for me as your bishop. In making these decisions with and for us, have I been too cautious, too focused on reducing the potential spread of the virus, and not focused enough on our need to be together and the impact this cumulative isolation has had on our emotional well-being? For different reasons than those of the prodigal son, this has been a season of soul-searching and of asking hard and sometimes painful questions. One of the details I love in this story is the speech that the prodigal prepares to deliver to his father as he makes his way home. And he practices it. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. I do this. Perhaps you do too. When I'm preparing for a hard conversation, I try and imagine what I will say. I practice it. And then I try and anticipate how the other person will respond. The parable, of course, hinges upon the completely unexpected response of the father. He doesn't even let his son finish his prepared speech. He runs to greet him and interrupts the speech. He embraces him and envelops him in love. As we return to our sanctuaries, we too will once again be embraced and enveloped by love. God's deep, abiding, unconditional, uninterrupted love for us. We will also be embraced as we re-enter the places where we have learned to love one another by the love we have shared with each other. But we won't be able to actually physically embrace, and this will be painful. As we re-enter these sacred spaces where we practice love, and where love has held us in our times of grief, of loss, and of feeling lost ourselves, we will experience yet this other loss. We will not be able to hug each other, to hold each other, but we will be able to heal each other. By God's grace, that is where the homecoming of the prodigal and our return to our places of worship meet. This is the unexpected gift, the promise at the heart of the Father's embrace, healing, wholeness, wellness. God's deepest desire for each of us, for all of us as God's children, is this healing, this wholeness, wellness. There is a balm in Gilead and here in North Carolina. And the balm is for all God's children, not just the prodigal ones, but the faithful ones, like the older son who never left home. Those who have been endlessly adapting during this time of pandemic, who have offered online live stream worship, who've learned more about Zoom technology than they ever hoped to know, who have found creative ways to connect, to commune, to build beloved community, even in the time of a triple pandemic. This side of Judgment Day, we will never really know what parts of these pandemics we have gotten right or wrong in this season, this extended Lenten season. Which of our decisions were God's will, and which were driven by our own misguided attempts to follow God's will? But what we do know is this. God interrupts our explanations, our rehearsed apologies, our expressions of authentic repentance with an embrace of love. This is our homecoming. This is Jesus' gospel promise. This is the unexpected gift that we are given freely. This is the healing love that we are all seeking for ourselves and for one another. This has been a long journey, longer than any of us initially would have asked or imagined. We may be weary, lonely, frustrated, or hurting, but we are on the home stretch. The end is in sight. The day is coming. Welcome home. Welcome to the place of healing, of wholeness and wellness. Let this wondrous love embrace us. Let it hold us. Let it heal us. Let it lift us. Then bless God's holy name, whose grace is making us whole, whose love and kindness crowns our days. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
Let us join together in affirming our faith as we say the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. God of love, we pray for your church, for Michael, our presiding bishop, Samuel and Anne, our bishops, for all lay and ordained ministers, and for all who seek you in the community of the faithful. Equip us with compassion and love to carry out your work of reconciliation in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of freedom, we pray for our nation and all the nations of the world, for peace and unity across barriers of language, color, and creed, for elected and appointed leaders, that they would serve the common good. Inspire all people with courage to speak out against hatred, to actively resist evil. Unite the human family in bonds of love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of justice, we pray for the earth, your creation entrusted to our care, for the animals and birds, the mountains and oceans, and all parts of your creation that have no voice of their own. Stir up in us a thirst for justice that protects the earth and all its resources, that we may leave to our children's children the legacy of beauty and abundance that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of peace, we pray for this community, for our local leaders, for our schools and markets, for our neighborhoods and workplaces. Kindle in every heart a desire for equality, respect, and opportunity for all. Give us courage to strive for justice and peace among all people, beginning here at home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of mercy, we pray for all who are in any kind of need or trouble, for those whose lives are closely linked with ours, and those connected to us as part of the human family. For refugees and prisoners, for the sick and suffering, especially those with COVID-19, the lonely and despairing, for those facing violence, for all held down by prejudice or injustice. Awaken in us compassion and humility of spirit as we seek and serve Christ in all persons. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of grace, we pray for those who have died, for the faithful in every generation who have worked for justice, for prophets who call us to racial reconciliation, for martyrs who died because of hatred, and for all the communion of saints. Make us faithful to your call to proclaim your good news by word and example, and bring us at last into the glorious company of the saints in light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Hear our prayers, Holy God. Breathe your spirit over us and all the earth, that barriers would crumble and divisions cease. Make us more fully your co-healers of the broken world. Help us to become beloved community with one another, uniting us with all people in bonds of love, that the whole earth and all its peoples may be at peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. We will not be sharing the peace here where it is normally shared, but that will be shared at the end of our service when we gather at the Friday Center for convention. So we'll continue now with the offertory sentences. Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Victory in the wilderness.
so long.